The Podcast Under the Stairs. Void Diary Entry Number 31.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me? This is Duncan McLeish from the Podcast Under the Stairs. I think these messages are getting out okay. This is an update to previous communications. The second part of the new device has been transmitted through successfully, and I've already started construction. The device looks slightly different compared to the device that I had originally built and crafted and designed. This one appears to have some sort of turning wheel device. I've asked to see the blueprints, but as it stands just now, the general in charge of the operation is not giving me any further information. Suffice to say that the third part should be here soon. All going well, I should be home in the next month and a bit. Signing off.
You're listening to Druid FM on 192 BC.
Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 68. I am your host Duncan McLeish, and welcome to the show. Episode number 68 continues our countdown of the top 10 horror performances by Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price, and we're at number 2 on that countdown this week. Number 2 will see us review The Abominable Dr. Fibes versus The Devil Rides Out in a hard-hitting competition, and as such I've invited two guests to join me on this show. So later on I'll be joined by Danny Trioxen from The Midnight Horror Show and former co-host of the podcast Under the Stairs, the ghastly Graham Humphrey, will also join me, and we will discuss those movies, culminating in a decision at who is the better performer. As we found out last week on the show, it's pretty much dead cert now. There's absolutely no way that Vincent Price can be beaten. It is now a matter of pride to see if we can catch up Christopher Lee into a kind of close competition towards the end, or if Vincent Price will continue his domination and stretch that lead out even further. We'll find out later on at the end of the show. So I hope you guys are doing great out there. I hope you've all had a chance to check out the Baz V Horror episode, where we concluded our look at the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. That was a whole hell of a lot of fun, and that show clocked in about 4.5 hours, so it's pretty epic. The feedback has been brilliant though. You guys digging the Baz, talking about everything other than the movies, which is classic Baz really. And we are looking forward now to gearing up for Baz V Halloween. 5 weeks of terror for the Baz. We've already started recording those shows, so the first one will drop on the 1st of October, which is a Thursday this year, so you'll get that episode on Thursday, and then the following Monday episode 2 will drop, so those ones will have a short break between the two of them. So basically what that means is we have this week's episode, next week you will hear our final in the countdown of the top 10 Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price movies, and then you will get right after that, in the same week, you will get Baz V Halloween, and then a couple of days later, another Baz V Halloween. So loads of stuff coming up. And then it basically takes us right through October with Baz V Halloween, and then we're into Baz's second year anniversary for Baz V Horror. And then I have a couple of interesting kind of one-off shows planned to take us through towards the end of the year. So I'll have Jeff X Martin and Doug Tilley back to look at our continuation of the movies of Lucio Fulci. So we'll be covering three movies from his later catalogue of giallos. I'm really looking forward to that. Johnny Krug will obviously be back, and we'll be looking at more blaxploitation. And I've got another couple of episodes up my sleeve I can't wait to drop. And also remember that our Halloween episode this year will be the video commentary of Grave Encounters 2 featuring the Baz. So I think that's probably enough talking, and I think probably what is best now is for me to shut up. We take a short break. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the intro music for the fantastic Christopher Lee Vincent Price Top 10 Countdown segment. And then when I return, I'm going to be joined by Danny Triox and Graham Humphreys as we look at those movies right after this.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God! A butthole casserole!
May I have your attention, please?
Mr. Harker, I'm glad that you've arrived safely. I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Ready to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
Then tell us where Makata is.
Fear causes tremendous tensions in the body. If you can't relieve those tensions, why can't they become strong enough to kill you?
They will be destroyed.
Oh, splendid. This must be my malaria.
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic, but scream! Scream for your lives!
I intended a peaceful occupation, but you have made that impossible.
You suspect foul play?
It's almost time to lock up the house. Then your party will really begin. I wonder how it'll end.
I will flog every person in this village.
You are about to enter hell.
You will warn the crew that if any one of them lets slip what really happened to the Armada, I will personally cut out his tongue.
Salt and mercury, effective against the dark forces. They will protect you and Simon. If we can save him.
The mark of Satan is upon them.
I appreciate the fact that you are here to help me. Nevertheless, I would remind you that you are also a guest in my house.
Welcome, fool. You have come of your own free will to the appointed place. Gain no.
The pit! The pen.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
And welcome back. So this is number two on the countdown of the top 10 best horror performances by Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price. We are doing on this show The Abominable Dr. Fibes from 1971, and we will be following that up with a Christopher Lee movie, a certain little movie from 1968 called The Devil Rides Out. Now, they're getting harder and harder. Like, as this show goes on, I'm finding it more difficult to differentiate who's the better actor. You're dealing with two incredible performers here, and the movies are getting harder as well to go against. So this time I brought in two heavyweights of horror podcasting. Now granted, one of them hasn't done much horror podcasting in about 2 years, and the other one will deny that he is a horror podcaster, but fuck it, we'll bring them on anyway. Is of course the first guest that I will introduce, my good friend and former co-host on the podcast Under the Stairs, the ghoulish Graham Humphrey. How you doing, sir?
Did you call me fat?
Yes.
Oh.
I said you were a heavyweight bastard.
I know.
And all those Canadian fucking pancakes and bacon and maple syrup have made you chubby, sir.
And anyone who's ever met me will know how wildly ironic that statement is.
Yeah, you are thinner than a fucking... You're thinner than a bit of spaghetti. You know, like spaghetti when it's not being cooked and it's just like, that's what you're like. Well, actually, you're flatter than that. It's linguine. That's kind of what you look like.
Thanks, mate.
Get a meal in you. Every time I see you, I don't know if I want to take you out for a fucking fish supper or a cup of coffee. I'm
just
like,
just ramming cakes in my mouth.
I'm like ordering three meals and sitting down there like, he must be. And I'm like, no, they're for Graham. So how are you doing, Graham?
I'm alright. Now that we've got that those self-esteem issues out the way. Yeah. I'm good. I'm back. You can fire me as many times as you like, Duncan. I always make it back somehow.
It's worrying. It's because I read a lot of true crime stuff, and the one thing that I find in a lot of the kind of true crime stuff is that when you fire someone and they come back to work repeatedly, it usually means they're going to kill someone. So I'm slightly worried.
I'm essentially the podcasting version of herpes. You think it goes away, but then boom. It's right back there, aye.
One cold winter day, slap right in your face. my second guest is another good friend of mine. I'm like the godfather. I'm a simple man blessed with many friends. This one is, of all the people I know that do shows, he's been doing it pretty much the longest, since 2008. He is the man behind the Midnight Horror Show, a show that I'm very proud to feature on every Wednesday night live. It is, of course, Mr. Danny Trioxen. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I wish we wouldn't talk about how long the show's been on. You would expect better results out of what we put out.
7 years, Danny. Seven years.
No, say 7 weeks. That might sound a little better than the fifth results that we gave out, so... It's early evening, morning, something. I don't know. This is the earliest I've ever gotten up to record anything for podcasting.
Where are you?
I'm in Virginia.
So what's the time there?
8 something in the morning, I think.
Yeah. It's early 8. For Danny.
It's early to get up. I mean, I get up and go to work earlier than this. It's just earlier, for me to start moving the motor of the mouth. So
just go back to bed. We'll wake you up when it's your time to talk.
Yeah, Graham's on the show. That could be a while.
Exactly.
You're laughing just now, but see when you try and get a word in edgeways later on, we'll see how that plays out for you, Danny. Like I say, you do the Midnight Horror Show. I'm proud to guest on that. That show's been going for a while, but it morphed from a podcast to a live radio show. Could you tell the listeners, please, where they can check out that live radio show, and if they can't stay up late, if they're in the UK and can't stay up late to listen to it, how they can catch it on the catch up?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to tmhsradio.com, you can check the shows out. We do them live every Wednesday, like Duncan said, from 7 to 9 Eastern Time. That's my lovely time zone. And if you want to catch the repeats, they're on podomatic.com. I think it's under the Midnight Horror Show, iTunes, all those lovely places. But yeah, if you can make it for a live show, that's where it's really at. Because if you listen to the repeat, it just sounds like aborted poop everywhere. You got to have the visuals to go with it. It goes crazy
pretty quick. It really goes.
Just have a question here, Danny. Are you, in fact, a Dalek?
Yes, I am.
That's what it's sounding like coming through here. I don't know if that's me or.
It might just be you.
Is it? All right, cool.
Someone like Graham's already throwing spanners in the works here. He's
all right, cool. You're coming through a bit.
Through like a Dalek.
It's good, man. I like languages. I've got a thing about languages. I'm cool with learning Dalek as well. So just keep going with it. We'll be.
Oh my god,
in
yeah,
fact,
this...
Even I've been on an episode of the Midnight Horror Show.
You have been?
And I just muscled in on that.
Muscled in when we were all drunk.
It was an amazing, amazing commentary.
Did you stick around to Mark Pukin, Graham, or did you leave before then?
No, everyone hung up on me, man.
Oh no, we did not.
You're a lying bastard. We did the Gross Out Show right after that. I've got a feeling that you left us. And
fuck no, everyone just fucking left, and then you guys were saying that you were off because you had something to do and somebody was going to do something else.
Revisionist history here.
No, that's what happened, man.
Are you sure? Because you told me earlier on today that I didn't tell you when we were recording this. And
you didn't tell me that. That's
deep. Oh my god. Anyway, this is a huge aside to what proves to be a monumental task here of going through these two movies, which are arguably two of the greatest horror performances for both actors. But then at the end, deciding who's the better one is just, it's soul destroying. Every time I do this, I kind of feel like I'm married to one and cheating on the other, which is horrible. Not that I would know how that, I'm not a cheater, but anyway. Moving on. So yeah, we're going to take our very first break of this show. You're going to hear the trailer for our first movie review, which is The Abominable Dr. Fibes. When we come back, myself, Graham and Danny are going to walk through this movie, and we are going to be right back right after this.
You know those old-time radio shows with the married couples who bicker about the kids and the car and the neighbors? Our podcast is a lot like that.
Yeah. Well, if you replace the kids, the car, and the neighbors with devil movies, theology, and vodka.
My name is X.
And I'm Cootie.
And we are the hosts of Kiss the Goat, a different kind of movie podcast.
Every episode, we review a devil movie. You know, possessions, exorcisms, the Antichrist, and we stomp a mud hole in it, even if we like it.
We are huge fans of comparative religion, and we love to compare real belief systems with what Hollywood seems to think belief systems are.
But don't think we're not civic-minded, because each episode includes our Satan in the News segment, where our fearless correspondent, Sin Fallon, documents the eternal struggle between good and evil.
And, as high-functioning alcoholics, we give every movie its own drinking game, so that you can enjoy the movie just like we did. Ripped to the tits.
And there is ever so much more to the show than that. And let me tell you, it ain't for kids.
Hell, it ain't for most adults.
But it might be for you.
You won't know until you listen to Kiss the Goat exclusively on the Legion Network of Podcasts.
That's Kiss the Goat. We're the lighter side
of the dark side.
72 movies that shocked a nation and made an infamous list, the Video Nasties. Hi, I'm Duncan McLeish, and you can join me and my co-host, Andy Blockley.
Hello, hello.
As we chat about the 72 films, reviewing them all from the Video Nasty list, live on our podcast. Tell them about it, Andy.
Okay, 1982, 20,000 films were seized in London alone because they were too nasty to be watched. Come and find out why.
That's right. The show's called Doing the Nasty Podcast. You can find it exclusively on the Horrorphilia Network of Podcasts. Come and check us out.
A dear friend. Nine killed you. Nine shall die.
Your wife, no, Fibes. But you I will kill.
But you can't, Doctor. I am already dead.
Here, how are we gonna get him off this? You take his head, and I'll take his feet. Let's unscrew him.
Dr. Fibes, who samples the finer things of life in his own inimitable way and experiments with fascinating instruments of death.
The what, sir? The Qatar. The 10 curses visited upon the pharaohs before Exodus.
Nine shall die. Nine eternities in doom.
Curse of boils, of bats.
Frogs?
Frogs, yes. And curse of blood. Curse of hail.
the bloody middle of nowhere.
Are you ready for Dr. Five? Probably the most terrifying motion picture you'll ever see.
And welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for our first movie review. It's The Abominable Dr. Fibes from 1971, starring Vincent Price. You also have Joseph Cotten, Hugh Griffith, Terry Thomas, Virginia North. Danny, Virginia!
Virginia!
Peter Jeffrey, Derek Goodfrey. Norman Jones, John Carter of Mars. It's John Cater.
Imagine that movie, man. That'd be amazing.
John Carter
and Dr. Fives and John Carter of Mars. That would have made money.
That would have.
Made money, I mean, been a complete disaster. But it couldn't have been any more of a disaster than John Carter actually was.
Oh, it's a bad movie. This movie was directed by Robert Frosty, the snowman. The reason it came at number two of mine, this one is probably slightly controversial because this one just picked out Theatre of Blood. And a lot of people consider Theatre of Blood to be Price's best performance. And he doesn't do a whole hell of a lot of talking in this movie. Suffice to say, he uses like a voice box. So people might think it's weird that I would choose this, but I think the fact that he doesn't speak much in this movie, and the emotion coming through from the facial expressions and his eyes emote so much in this movie, I think the movie's just a better movie, if I'm honest. I was going to upset some folk, but I really love Dr. Fibes.
Myself, man. Theatre of Blood's probably my favourite Price movie. But, hey, I'm not on the show anymore, so...
If you had been, we would have probably had to do a good old-fashioned knife fight.
Aye.
To sort this out. You should have seen us doing the top 10 British horror movies, Danny. I've still got the scars.
I've only got one eye left.
Basically, the movie, a kind of more extended synopsis for this movie is that Vincent Price plays Dr. Anton Fibes. He was an expert in theology and music and was supposed to have died in a car crash back in 1921. And shortly after that, his wife died during an operation. But what people don't know is he actually survived the car crash, but was left badly, badly burned.
That happens to the best of us.
It does happen to the best of us. He's unable to speak as well, so he uses this really strange kind of voice box sort of thing.
Which suspiciously like Vincent Price.
It does sound severe.
Which leads me to wonder, is that what Stephen Hawking's voice sounded like before? If that's how these things work? Because Vincent Price's voice box just sounds exactly like Vincent Price, so maybe that's how these things work.
I don't actually think Stephen Hawking uses a voice box. I think it's a computer.
Oh, good point. Aye, that's a fair point.
Oh my god. You're killing me here, Graham, already. So basically, Fibes decides one day that he is going to exact revenge on all the people that he considers responsible for his wife's death. And he does this with the assistance of his lovely female assistant, Volnavia. Which is such a bad name. And the deaths are all centred around the 10 plagues of Egypt. Which is just, whoever come up with that idea is just, I just want to shake his hand. It's just an absolute fucking masterclass. And it follows that, kind of very, very similar to Theatre Blood in that we are given set piece after set piece of these elaborate deaths of people that were involved with, well, who he blames with killing his wife. And what we find out is his wife's actually, she is dead, but he's managed to preserve the body. And he almost gets away with it if it hadn't been for those pesky kids and their meddling dog at the end of the movie, only to return in a sequel, which is fucking brilliant as well. No, the sequel,
come on, man.
I love the sequel.
This one's legitimately amazing. The sequel's fucking like pish.
Thank you, Graham. Like I say, this one, it's funny because we're going to get into, like, Graham had messaged me like a couple of days ago to say that this is the movie that got you into Vincent Price.
It is, aye.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of similar. I think this, to me, is the one that I remember most vividly as being like a movie with Vincent Price when I was younger. And this is the first time I kind of really recognised him as an actor or a name. And what always stuck out to me is how creepy the deaths are if you're a kid. You know what I mean? They're like really fucking horrible deaths. There's a guy that gets a mechanical frog head put on him, aye, which slowly tightens and crushes his head. And hello, Saw. You've ripped that off. But it's quite horrible. Or someone being eaten by a plague of locusts, which is dodgy. I'll give you that. I don't think that's how locusts work, but I don't think they work that quickly either. But
I don't know, man. If Vincent Price says it,
then it's true.
That's what happens.
It is true. But
that bat's adorable. It's that bat crawling at the bed there, man. It's amazing. Just scratch its wee head. It'll be loving it.
Oh my god, this review already. I think, like I say, the reason it appears so high for me, it genuinely is one of my favourite Vincent Price movies, and I think the fact that he gives away one of his main Price assets in a movie, which is, you are right, it's still Vincent Price doing the voice, but it's he's having to take a lot of that kind of Price-like, over-the-top thespian campness out. And it was one of his traits. I mean, it was one of his big traits in his movies. And when you take that out, you strip that out, what is left is an absolutely phenomenal wounded performance. You feel so sorry for this character, even though you probably shouldn't, because he's on a killing rampage. And the doctors weren't actually really all that incompetent at all. They just couldn't save her. And the fact that he holds this horrible grudge against him, and the fact you can still sympathise with the character, I think, is a credit to the performance. Graham, you have the floor, sir. Tell us, the abominable Dr. Fibes, what was it about this movie that after seeing it you were like, I need to check out more movies by Vincent Price?
I knew who Vincent Price was and everything like that, but this was the first one that I remember really sort of sitting down and watching. I missed Vincent Price when I was younger and everything like that, but I remember hearing about movies it was in, but this was really the first one. Actually, it was my girlfriend at the time had it on DVD, and we watched it, and it's super camp. Like, it's fucking cheesy as all hell, but in a totally acceptable way. It knows that it's cheesy as all hell, so, like, fuck it, let's just go all out with this. In the same way as Theater of Blood, like, I think in a lot of ways Theater of Blood is kind of a step up from Dr. Fibes. It's kind of almost like, all right, we made that movie. I don't know if it's the same people that are involved, but it's almost kind of like, all right, we made that movie, that worked quite well, but we could tweak it and do this. But the set pieces and the deaths and everything like that, it's essentially a sort of precursor to what a lot of slasher movies were like, when it's essentially just kind of, all right, you've got one death and then you move on, you get the next one, blah blah blah, yeah, blah, blah. But just really cleverly done. I like the theme that runs through it, like you were saying earlier on. I like the fact that it's based on the 10 plagues, and you know, I also just like how batshit mental Vincent Price is. And by God, that guy can play the organ.
He can play the organ. He's a mean organ player.
Master, and he's got that mad wee fucking murder band thing going on while he's dancing with that random woman as well. It's good. I need to get one of them set up in my place, man. It'd be great.
I thought you had one already. No.
Not a murder band. But
all right. We're working on it, though.
Exactly. Just don't tell the cops. It just really struck a chord with me. It's quintessential 70s horror. Very kind of post Hammer. And it's just a lot of fun as well. I think that's the thing. I think with a lot of Hammer movies, they're great and they're sort of they're campy to an extent, but they're not playful movies necessarily. Dr. Graves is a kind of playful movie as well. It's not all straight ahead horror. It's got a kind of sly wink to the audience as well. And when Vincent Price winks at you, man, you can't help it. In fact. Also, incidentally, he loves having a fucking mangled face as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And we've already discussed House of Wax earlier on in this series. And he likes a little bit of the mangled face.
Aye.
Yeah, there you go. Right, Danny, Dr. Fibes, a movie that you were fairly familiar with, I would say. I mean, it's one of those ones that's... is fairly beloved by fans of Vincent Price and fans of kind of 70s horror, especially. It's one of those ones that a lot of people will list up there just because of how much fun it is. What's your thoughts on the movie?
I really enjoy this movie. Now, this wasn't something, you know, when I was a child that we were introduced to this Vincent Price film. You know, here in Virginia, we're more introduced to, you know, 80s performance he does in Thriller by Michael Jackson, you know, or House on Haunted Hill. So, you know, when I went back and watched this movie when I was a little bit older, you know, it hits me. You know, I remember Last House or Last Man on Earth, and I remember, you know, the overall story of them, but I don't remember a lot from those movies, you know, being a child. But going back and watching Fibes, that just over the top, it's kind of like Dawn of the Dead, over the top 70s. You know, set pieces and everything. I mean, the first time you see the murder band, like, oh my God, I do. It clicked in your head. You remember seeing this as a child, and you remember it very vividly. You know, I love the way that they stylized this. And like Graham was saying with the humor, you know, the nods, the audience, they do. They interlace the humor in this, the dark humor, very well. It's not just smacked on top. And, you know, it's so ahead of its time. I mean, like you were talking about with Saul, with the traps, you know. Without this, we don't have Saw. Without this, we don't have Seven, if you really, you know, break it all down. You know, and his... I know we're going to talk about the performances later, so I don't want to say... That is the big selling point for this film for me, was his performance. You know, it's just... I guess with both of the movies tonight, you know, you've got two going at each other, have two really, really special performances that we don't normally see. You know, this is Vincent Price without the voice. Even though we do get it... occasionally, you know, through the little monologues he's delivering, you know, it's all done over the top with the facial expressions, the rubber face, and without that iconic voice. So this movie holds up. I mean, you can go back and watch this, you know, annually, and it still holds up. You know, I love this movie. It's a great, great film.
He also drinks wine through a hole in his neck. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, one of the things that really, really makes this movie completely beloved to me is the inept police officers who are just fucking, oh my God, they're so goofy, but so funny. And I love the fact that those characters, even though Graham hates the sequel, I love the fact that they return in that sequel and they're even more inept than they were before. And why they work in a case in Egypt doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's just nonsense.
But they're like, fuck it, let's just do it. And obviously the original plan was to do a series of Fibes movies. I'm actually quite glad they didn't. I'm quite glad that they probably did stop at two. Because there's only so far you can really kind of push that before it does, it kind of loses the things that make it stand the test of time, which is that dark sense of humor, the kind of over the top sort of campness of just overall how all the characters meet their demise. They're done by this idea of the plagues, you know, the 10 plagues of Egypt, but the setup is what gets me each time. There's this huge elaborate setup for each of these deaths, that the audience is already kind of, the audience is ahead of the person that's going to meet their demise. And I love that idea of just seeing how they all play out and how he keeps managing to escape the grasp of the police officers, who really should know better. I think it works really well.
I think it's one of the first movies I can really think of where the tension doesn't come from, you know, sort of not knowing whether or not the person's going to escape or whether or not they're going to get killed or whatever it is. You know that that's what's going to happen. The tension comes from actually watching him perform the act, which is why I was saying it's kind of like a precursor to a lot of the slasher movies, you know, where it's like, you know that person's going to die. You just, like, that's what you're waiting for, not to see if they're going to be able to get away, just to actually see it all carried out. Fibes is one of the first movies that I can sort of think of that really focuses on that notion of, you know, I know this person's going to die. I'm just sitting here watching it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting waiting, hoping that it's going to be as amazing a death as I
Yeah. I think it does it really well as well. And I think there's just the right amount of, you know, like sometimes when you rely too heavily on this idea of, well, all these characters are going to die in these fantastical ways, after a while it just becomes a, it loses its impact. And I think the movie just hits it right. I think if you had maybe one or two more deaths in there, it would probably hinder the movie overall. I think they just nail it just right. Before we take a short break, is there anything else either one of yous would like to say about The Abominable Dr. Fibes? Graham, we'll start with you.
No, not really. I mean, like, you know, without going into Price's performance on it, not really. I mean, I think the only way the movie could be improved is if we combined the title of the two movies that we're working with here and just became the abominable Dr. Fives Rides Out. That'd be amazing.
And funny, I've titled this the file that I'm saving this in as Devil Fibes, but your one's better.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's usually the way this podcast works.
Yeah, that's how it works, right, Graham? That's the real reason you left, through my jealousy.
Aye.
And I had the recording equipment, so fuck you.
You replaced me with an older, balder version.
Some people would say that it's easier to wind up Baz than it is to wind up you. So that's what works. That's what works. And technically, he's your dad. So that's what he keeps telling everyone. He keeps telling everyone. He did say something. He did give me a message to pass on to you, though. Stop coming round his house asking for pocket money.
No, that's what he's for.
We'll just tell him that if he doesn't pay up, then you can go to the child support agency to get him to pay up.
If he doesn't pay up, I'm going to fucking egg his house, man. And by egg, I mean throw bricks through his window.
Danny, is there anything else you want to say about The Abominable Dr. Fibes before we take a short break?
Now, after Graham dropped that great title of The Abominable Dr. Fibes Rides Out, I got nothing. Nothing to follow that up with.
That was a mic drop.
It was a mic drop.
What are you using to record? Are you using your iPad?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm a laptop. Why?
I think you've used your iPad before. I just imagine you drop your whole iPad on the ground and then going, oh, fuck.
Just throwing it out the window. Done. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Right, so we're going to take a very short break just now. You're going to hear the trailer for movie number 2, the final movie review of the show, which is The Devil Rides Out from 1968, starring Christopher Lee. We're going to be back to discuss that movie right after this.
You're listening to The Podcast Under the Stairs.
Flesh Like Smoke is the toothsome new shapeshifter anthology from April Moon Books. Curated and edited by Brian M. Sammons with illustrations by Neil Baker, Flesh Like Smoke is a collection of 16 tales of visceral horror from today's most talented authors. Some of these tortured souls lash out against their cursed existence, while others relish the taste of animalistic power. Ranging from gut-wrenching terror to heart-rending pathos, Flesh Like Smoke will leave you salivating for more with every turn of the page. Flesh Like Smoke is available in paperback and ebook format from Amazon.com and AprilMoonBooks.com, as well as other online purveyors of fine literature. Hurry to sink your claws into a copy before the next full moon.
Movies need only three things. Badasses.
You tell me who you want done, and I'll do the hell out of it.
A chick with drive who don't take no jive.
Boobs.
Do you know that the female breast, known to be the source of life since Eve, can be deadly weapons.
And body counts.
Body count. The mathematics of murder and menace.
The BBNBC podcast discusses lesser-known action, exploitation, and horror cult cinema. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and SoundCloud by searching for BBNBC podcast. You can also listen to each episode directly on the show's website at badassesboobsandbodycounts.com.
Got the goddamn message. Let's go to work.
Do you believe in evil?
As an idea.
Do you believe in the power of darkness?
As a superstition.
Now, there you are wrong. The power of darkness is more than just a superstition. It is a living force which can be tapped at any given moment of the night. Why?
On one night of one year... should these people live in mortal fear? Christopher Lee as de Richelieu, who knows he must fight the devil's power to the death.
My God.
Don't look at the eyes, Rex! Eyes. Eyes. Once filled with love, are consumed with fear. For Tanith is now promise to the devil.
Listen carefully to what I say.
This is McCarter, the devil's chief disciple.
Your will is leaving you, slipping away.
The Devil's Bride, from bestseller author Dennis Wheatley's The Devil Rides Out, fills the screen with a special kind of visual terror. On your feet, quickly! Back to back, join hands! You will hear his evil. You will feel his evil. You will see his evil.
If we once catch sight of his face.
And welcome back. So, you've just heard the trailer for our final movie review of this episode. It's The Devil Rides Out from 1968, directed by Hammer horror maestro Terence Fisher, based on the novel by Dennis Wheatley, the screenplay adapted by Richard Matheson. The movie stars Christopher Lee, Charles Grey, Nike, Sunday, Leon Green, Patrick Moore, Gwen Fagon Con... Davis. Did it make up these names?
That sounds totally legit, aye.
Fraggle Rock? What's her name? Oh, fucking hell. Sarah Lawson, Paul Eddington, Rosalind Lander and Russell Waters. The synopsis for this movie doesn't appear to show up on this page at all for some reason.
Excellent.
Doesn't work with me, but anyway, we'll talk you through it. So basically we have, we'll just do the longer synopsis. So we have the Duke de Richelieu played...
Just copy and paste when I gave the synopsis last time we talked about it and just stick.
We probably should have just done
that.
Because for those that are in the know, the OG listeners out there or people that have went back through the shows, they will know that this movie prominently featured in a top 10 British horror movies of all time. And I've said it more one occasion that this is my favourite Hammer horror movie. It's also one of my favourite Christopher Lee movies. That's why it landed at number 2. So the Duke de Richelieu is played by Christopher Lee. He's an older guy, well weathered, and a font of all knowledge, really. He just seems to know everything about everything. And he and his friend Rex, Rex has just flown in from America, and they decide that they're going to meet their old friend. Whoa, there's one of them on this show, Graham.
Ah, no, he's all right.
So, his friend, they're going to go and visit their friend Simon, someone that they used to go adventures or whatever. And when they show up, after Simon doesn't appear, they find out that Simon is throwing a bit of a party, a little soiree, and he's not invited them. And he seems to have a new group of friends, the prominent member of them, played by Charles Graham, Gray, who plays the fantastically named Mokata.
Oh.
Which I think we could get another, like, this a session with Mokata dominated the last review we did of this. I think we could just recycle that as well. Mokata. Kind of sounds like
best guy in it, man.
Fucking it. Kind of sounds like something you would get in like a Starbucks. Could I have a Grande Mokata, please?
You just get a Dibble cup.
Just a
this is the most metal thing I've ever seen. This is amazing.
So yeah, Mokata leads this group of, for lack of a better word, Satanists, who are using the dark arts to initiate into their group Simon, who is a man from great wealth. And we get the feeling that they're basically using him to get him into the group, along with all these other prominent rich people to conduct some sort of weird ceremony. And obviously, what they don't know is the Duke de Richelieu is fairly clued up on his black magic. It's one of those handy skills that he has.
Well, don't we all?
Yeah, well, I know that growing up in Scotland, it's mandatory to have a book on how to defeat Satanists. You know, it's just a done thing. It's your first lesson you get when you enter high school. Yep. Here is a Satanist. What do you do? And there's just a guy standing there wearing devil horns, going, "Wah!" What the fuck? Reading through the book, trying to find this. I don't know why this review's going this way. I love this movie.
This is what happens.
This is what happens when Graham's here. Not when Danny's here. When Danny's here, everything's professional. But Graham's bad. Graham, go lie down. So basically the movie follows through with Rex and the Duke de Richelieu trying to get Simon away from the evil power of Mokata, and it culminates in two massive set pieces. The first one is the actual satanic ritual, which is amazing when the Goat of Mendez appears. And he's fucking terrifying.
He's
fucking absolutely terrifying. And towards the end, the magic circle, and the large kind of tarantula and all the other things, the giant horse and all that are superimposed on the screen as threats to get to them. That's not to forget
that's what the new X-Men Apocalypse movie is going to look like there, man. The guy who rides in on that horse, that's one of the four horsemen. That's exactly what it's going to look like.
The sequence as well, when the first use of black magic is used against him, and this African man appears with glowing eyes and the most sinister smile I've ever seen.
It's horrifying.
He just kind of stares at him with his glowing eyes going, "Hello." And you're like, "Oh yeah, bastard."
Don't look in the eyes.
don't look in his eyes.
It's the whole movie, man. Just don't look in his eyes. See, if you just go about just poking everyone in the eyes, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. No one will be inflicted with their problems at all of the power of the Satanists. Like I say, the movie is based on a Dennis Wheatley novel, which is amazing. Dennis Wheatley had two of his novels done by Hammer. This one he loved, the second one he didn't, and vowed never to work with him after the second adaptation, which was To the Devil a Daughter.
Which we also covered.
Yes, which, and we've also covered it in this list again, funnily enough. And the thing about that movie is that they do change quite a bit from the book, and Wheatley believed that they just basically bastardised it, and he wasn't happy about it at all, vowed that they could never use his work again. But he was on board with this one, because this one follows fairly true to the novel. There's not that much that that moves away from the novel at all in terms of what appears in this movie. And Dennis Wheatley, once again, famous for having spent time in the company of people like Aleister Crowley, and learning quite a bit about magic rituals and all the rest. So the rituals that appear in this novel, and the rituals, I mean, that was one of the big selling points to The Devil a Daughter, was the rituals that appear in that movie are real rituals conducted by Satanists. And I think that works as well. I think the reason it obviously comes quite high on my list is the fact that I think Mokata is like one of the greatest Hammer horror villains. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Charles Grey plays him phenomenally. But Christopher Lee is one cool motherfucker in this movie.
Oh, he's amazing, man.
He's just like a total boss. It's one of the rare roles where you get him playing someone on the side of good. And he just, every time something happens, he just springs into I'm an absolute badass fighting Satanist mode. And it's great. It's such a commanding, powerful performance by him. And he's a tower of a man anyway. And you it's get that feeling.
It's like Ghostbuster without the jumpsuit.
Graham, we've already heard this once before, you, but it's a couple of years ago, and your opinion may have changed. It may not have.
Was that a couple of years ago?
Yes, it will be 2 years ago.
Seriously?
Yep. Where's the time gone, Graham? It's almost as if you moved to London, came back to Glasgow, and then moved out to Canada and come back to Glasgow in that time.
It's crazy. Actually, I moved to London before that, but never mind.
Correction on the show. The podcast Under the Stairs would like to make the following rebuttal.
Exactly. Damn straight. I love this movie. You know, anyone who, this is just really going over the same stuff that I said last time, but you know, I love the whole black magic side of things. You know, I really love it, and I love how much this movie has a real kind of respect for it. You know, obviously based on the novel. Incidentally, do you think Dennis Wheatley and Ben Wheatley have any sort of relation, because they're both in that same sort of field?
I would love to think that. I would really love to, because it would explain Kill List.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I love the fact that this movie, you know, I was talking about in the Fibes review about the way some Hammer movies are play things a bit straight, and that's why I loved Dr. Fibes. It's actually the reason why I love The Devil Rides Out, is it doesn't ham up this notion of Satan or black magic or anything like that as being a kind of, you know, ridiculous. It's very real. It's a very real threat, and this is just kind of how it is. Incidentally, the sort of the black mass scene where they summon the Goat of Mendes does look very much like a KKK rally. and I think there are some real parallels that you could draw there. But that's getting into a different conversation. No, I love it. I think that it's, you know, I mean, it hasn't necessarily aged the best, you know,
yeah.
With this superimposed tarantula and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that it gave it a real bash. It tried to add a sort of air of legitimacy to what is, you know, often looked at as a sort of ridiculous notion. And Mokata is the best name I've ever heard.
Mokata.
Exactly. I mean, his eyes like appear in the mirror and stuff like that. Just wee touches like that are this sort of real uneasiness that if he wants to get to you, man, he's got the know-how. He's gonna get there. You the only thing that you can do is not look at his eyes. Actually. That's not that big an obstacle.
But he's so dreamy. He's so dreamy.
He is, man. I know. Just thinking about this.
And he's very tanned as well. I think he may have been using fake bake before anyone else.
And bathing in it, man. Right? He's just. Anyway, so I've been distracted thinking about his eyes. No, it's I like that. I like the fact that there's a real kind of sense that, you know, it doesn't matter what you know or what you do, this guy's got this ability that he's going to get you, and the only thing that can stop him is Christopher Lee. Pretty much that's all you need to say, really.
Yeah. What do you have? Oh, you have Satan. What do I have? Christopher Lee.
Check and mate.
Boom. Mic drop. Throw the Mac at the window. Way. Danny, The Devil Rides Out. Had you seen this one before?
I have, and it's funny because in 7 years of doing quote-unquote horror podcasts, I've never had a chance to cover this movie. So I'm so glad. That's why I'm awake.
All right, let's just cut him off just now then, Duncan. We don't.
Graham, a.k.a. the Dream Breaker.
Yeah, he's spending way too much time in Canada. He's getting that maple attitude now. This movie like rapes homeless people and comes back 9 months later. I mean, it is a motherfucker. It is like the fucking Mount Rushmore of fucking horror this time. I mean, like you said, you've got Terrence Fisher, it's Matheson's involved, Dennis Wheatley, which this comes from a set of great, great fucking books. If you haven't read them, you should definitely read these books. Mm-hmm. This is what H.P. Lovecraft fans wanted with the Dunwich horror, and they did not get. This is the kind of story they wanted with this nice little occult. I mean, he covers the Wheatley novel perfectly. Mm-hmm. And like you said, this is one of the only times you're going to get Christopher Lee in this really awesome, like, hero role. And he plays it up so well. Without this, you know, people don't get to enjoy, what's that dumbass that we talked, Vincent D'Onofrio on something like Criminal Intent.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's Aramaic written on the wall. I know that because I studied with Jesus. And it's like, this guy knows everything. Well, this is where it comes from. It's Christopher Lee's character. This motherfucker knows everything. Had they needed like a paper airplane to get out of that circle in the middle of the night in this movie, he would have been like, hold on a second. And just made it. They would have flown through the window. There's not a point in this movie, big spider and all, that you ever worry of anyone. You're like, oh, as long as and they build it up so perfectly. He's like, I'm going to go out for a drive. As soon as he leaves, you're like, oh no, these poor fucking idiots, they're all done for. If he's not, they're done for without him.
It's like A-Team style building a tank out of like a Q-tip and a cabbage. that's Christopher Lee in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like Graham said, the special effects don't really hold up well. But I mean, you know, if there's so many movies from that time period where they don't hold up, but you know, because of the performances overall, it does. I mean, I don't remember, and I mean, I'm not saying that this is his best one, because obviously there's one more better than this for Christopher Lee. But this has got to be the most animated and most enjoyable watch that Christopher Lee has done.
Yes, sir. Amen to that. Amen to that.
iMac, I can't drop that, so I couldn't really make a noise for you to drop. That's not going to work. It's already fucking up as it is, so I definitely don't need to drop the goddamn thing.
I really hope your number one Christopher Lee movie is Corpse Bride. That would be amazing. That would just just shit all over everyone's expectations. That would be... Don't do that, man. Do it.
I mean... We all know. I mean, it should be no question here that it's Count Dooku was the best performance, and
it's horror, Danny.
Attack of the Clones was the most amazing film. Whatever.
It was pretty horrific, actually. I remember seeing that in the cinema and booing it.
Dooku dropped the Mike lightsaber. He just ruined the whole galaxy. All right, that was the best performance ever.
I love it when he's like that. Oh, Master Yoda, looks like we can only solve these problems with the power of the lightsaber. And I'm like, oh, dear God, oh, man.
I hope your number one movie is Sleepy Hollow.
I love Sleepy Hollow. If he wasn't, he's only in it for like a minute.
Aye, exactly.
He does have a sequence, though. He does have a sequence where he's talking over the top of the pulpit down at Johnny Depp. And as he stands, the wings of the Eagle of Justice behind him make him look like he's a winged demon. It's a fucking amazing shot. I send you to Sleepy Hollow. And it's like, you better fucking go to Sleepy Hollow. It's like Christopher Lee tells you to do it. You do it. I think... no, everyone knows what my number one is. I've already announced it on a page. And it's funny because the role that beats this one for me in the top 10 is, you know, isn't as powerful in terms of, like, Christopher Lee knows everything about everything in this movie, and that's what makes him commanding. He's very stalwart. He's the, you know, the anchor to all the characters and whatnot. And in the next role, he still has that charm, you know, in The Wicker Man. He definitely has the charm.
Spoilers, mate.
Everyone knows. It's been posted on the page. But in The Wicker Man, he has the charm. But above all else, there's so many different sides to that character, which The Devil Rides Out doesn't have, but doesn't need. You know what I mean? That's the main thing about Richelieu in this role, is that there is this sense of urgency, because he, above all others in the movie, knows exactly what everything means. He's a counterpoint to Mokata. He's a counterpoint to Mokata in this movie, in that he knows when this happens, what this means, how long they have left, when the rituals will happen, how he has to stop them. And it's a race against time. And Rex, who can throw a mean right hook, I mean,
he smashes someone through that car.
Yeah, he's really, that's Rex's job. Rex is the muscle in this movie. And Richelieu is the brains. And that, I think, sums up perfectly the special relationship between the UK and America. Mac drop. Get out of here. Is there anything else you want to say about The Devil Rides Out, Graham?
Mokata.
I just want that sampled. That's my new text message tone. Danny, anything you want to say about this movie before we take a short break and come back with the most painful part of the show?
No, I just want to hear you pronounce that Gwen woman's last name again.
Right, so her name is Gwen Fragacon.
There we go, Macacacon.
Yeah, for a second I thought I had the Dalek connection. Fragacon. Our name should be like Fragagon.
Call her Smith, right? It's Gwen Smith.
Her name now. I'm the one that reads the names out, so if that's what I say her name is, that's what her fucking name is.
Do phone in and complain, fucker.
I think she may be dead, Graham.
Well, exactly. She's gonna phone in and complain then, isn't she?
She played the Countess, so she was quite old by then. Yeah,
she died like 92 or something. She's been dead. The bitch is long gone.
Long gone. Right, so we're going to take a short break just now. When we return, we are deliberating about who had the better performance and who will receive the points from this show. Myself, Graham, and Danny will be right back after this.
It's 8 o'clock. Is it time to get the show on the screen or what?
Do you enjoy watching films with friends?
Do you like to consume vats of alcohol?
It's the 40s and some bitches, babe, yeah!
Me? I like beer. If you like all that and none of those artsy-fartsy films...
Does this mean we don't get to go to the Fellini Festival?
Fuck the Fellini Festival?
Then watch and listen to Two Drink Minimum Commentaries.
Every Wednesday, myself and a rotating panel of the filthiest podcasters I can muster up give you our comments, observations, and sometimes we might actually talk about the film as we class up some of your favorite films the only way we know how. As raunchy as we can.
What's this movie, PG?
Oh, yeah. This podcast sure is fucking...
Not only do you get the audio, but the video that goes with it.
Just listen to the shit that comes out of these filthy pirates.
You don't need to get an erection when your cock's full of rigor mortis.
Fucking curb stomp a baby for a bacon.
I think the moral of the story is, don't let Corky run Cerebro.
Unforgivable. If you could stand all that... Come and get your fill and your fix of Two Drink Minimum Commentaries.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Two Drink Minimum Commentaries is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network.
And welcome back. So, it all comes down to this. We have talked through two fantastic movies, The Devil Rides Out, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, and in a historical precedent set on the last couple of shows, I will go first with
Think
my...
So.
Yes, I will go first, Graham. You will sit there. You will accept it. Let me bring you from this call. Fucking dinner for you tonight. I am.
Oh, that's what I do, mate. I just wait until you start talking. I just interrupt you to open you up.
Yeah. Spanner and the spokes of my bike, causing me to do a front flip. My performance pick is Christopher Lee, which is my normal not necessarily surprising. I think Christopher Lee is phenomenal as a character. He is a complete badass in this movie. I believe in Christopher Lee in this movie. And whilst Fives as a character played by Vincent Price definitely has more depth, there's emotion there behind the eyes. He's a wounded character and I love what he does. I think that Christopher Lee basically makes The Devil Rides Out. I'm not saying if you took Price out of that performance, Fives would be as good. That's maybe too much of a bold statement. But when it comes to this kind of the power of the performance, I think The Devil Rides Out benefits greatly. The fact that I'm someone who's so commanding and, you know, whenever it's very difficult not to pay full attention to everything in that man's mouth. And I believe every word he says. I've tried some of those black magic things that he says in the movie, and none of them work. And I believe they don't work because Christopher Lee wasn't there. If he'd been there, then they'd be there too. So there you go. That is my selection. Graham, is it a difficult choice for you? And if so, who you go with?
Well, I think the best performance out of anyone involved in either of those movies is definitely Vincent Price's Mudder Band. They're amazing. I didn't play them out, they're awesome.
The Clockwork Band.
The Mudder Band. That's what they're called. It is a different person. They're two totally different roles. You know, Christopher Lee plays this very straight face because that's what the role requires. Vincent Price's performance is a lot more playful. It's tough. Like I said, you know, Christopher Lee's performance lends an air of legitimateness to a sort of, you know, otherwise potentially ridiculous storyline. Vincent Price's performance is essentially what makes Dr. Fives, you know, ridiculous. So it's kind of, they're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. I think I have to go with Vincent Price on this one because it's the role that made me fall in love with the guy. It's so much fun to watch, and I think he clearly had a lot of fun making the movie as well, and that comes through. And you drink the wine out of a hole in his neck.
Love that hole in his neck,
Graham. Hope so, that as well. But while he's putting alcohol in there, then his face is just going to go on fire and he's going to be house of wax.
Right, so on all the previous shows, I've only had one guest, and it's only happened on one show that there's been a disagreement, which caused the 2 points to be split in half, 1 point for each. However, there's three of us on this one, so majority will rule. Depending on what Danny comes back with, we'll depend on who gets the 2 points. So Danny, I don't like putting pressure on you, because I know you hate the pressure. You've no allegiance to him, useless, you metal.
I'm part 8 Canadian, the weirdest combination.
He's Canadian, part 8 Canadian. Dips his sushi into maple syrup. Sushi pudding. Danny, yes, the weight of the entire competition and the world rest on your shoulders right now. Fuck it up.
Like I said earlier, this is really difficult because you really have grabbed two very, very important performances where we get the heroes, Christopher Lee, and the silent side of Vincent Price. And, I mean, it's really hard to pick between the two of them, but if I had to, I mean, this is me being very, very fucking famous. No one just, like, rip my dick off or anything. But if I had to make one better than the other one, I'm forced to, I have to say that Christopher Lee is a little bit stronger. That's just because when Vincent Price starts talking, it's like they figured, you know what, he's not going to be able to express to us that his wife has passed on. This is what he wants, you know, vengeance for, without putting this little box to his neck and telling us the backstory. And then it kind of weakens the performance at that point. Maybe at the very end when he decides to talk, when all the cops show up and the big scene's about to go down, that's fine. But all the ones in between, I don't think I really need it. I think he was already selling the story to me with his face. I didn't need him to sit there and talk to himself through the whole thing. He could have just kept drinking wine through it as a dress. So it would have worked out for everyone had he done that. So if I had to be super picky, I'm going to have to just say, we should have cut out all the talking.
I'm never going to be able to watch this movie again without noticing how much wine they drink through that. I thought that was like a throwaway scene.
Slamming shots in his neck.
Boom. Flaming some hookers. He's like, oh no, the fire. Okay. Right, so Christopher Lee walks away with the wine. Watch the spanner in the works.
I'm never coming back on this.
He'll be back. What I felt like when he said, I'm never coming back on the show, I felt like sending him a contract to get him writing. But he'll be back. He's always back. Every time I think he's not coming back, he comes back. Graham will be happy to know, I mean, on the last show, it pretty much was revealed and solidified that Vincent Price has won overall. That won't be. But he has won overall.
I wouldn't necessarily like the fact that Chris Cody didn't win, but I like the fact that Vincent Price did win. You know, always look at the positive.
A glass half full sort of fish. But yeah, so there is
the slamming the lady money.
We only have one episode left of this countdown, and we'll see if Christopher Lee can close the gap to respectively 2 points, or if Vincent Price will extend the overall lead to a worthwhile 4 points. It's been a great run of shows. I just wanted to take some time here just before we thank my guests, the ghastly Graham Humphrey, former co-host of this show, and I dare say you'll be back before the year's out. Find something to get you back for, I think.
Me?
There is a rumour flying around that we may be doing a show from Bazzy's house, which is involving alcohol.
I am here, whether we do the show or not.
Alright guys, oh, you're recording a show? Oh, this is uncomfortable. Oh, what's that? Alcohol? Oh, well, I don't mind if I do, guys.
Look,
I
want to make some more of the wine. You know what? The sack the show, let's just go around the back. You know what? I've been doing it for the rest of the day. Let's just go around the back. I just need wine. Next
time. Next time. Hey, Buzz. I like your front door, Buzz. What do you mean you're going? I can see your car. You're in the living room. Wait for me. We'll get you back for that. Danny, as always, thank you very much, my friend.
Danny, we'll just get you over to Baz's as well, man. Just get back. Get back to pay for the flight, man. We'll be set.
Yeah.
Assholes, by the time I get there, you'll all be asleep. It'll be the next day. Fuck that.
This is also true.
Get there, we'll just have finished the wings.
When Scots drink, they drink. It's not like American drinking, when they drink for the night.
They go to bed.
Danny, thanks very much for the show. Would you just like to remind the listeners very quickly where they can listen to Midnight Flash?
Sure. Just go look up the podcast on theskeers.com. Just download it there. Just pretend it's called the Midnight Horror Show.
MHSradio.com, Danny, and listen to it live Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catch on the TuneIn app by MHS Radio, and you can find the PA shows on iTunes, SoundCloud, lots of other places. Thank you very much to my guests again. I'm going to do a very short break. When I come back, I'm closing out the show right after this. This is a true Graham. If listeners out there wanted to listen to you, what do they do?
They need you. I'm not giving them a number.
Yes. I'm going to be right back to close out the show right after this.
midnight. Enough time for one more story.
They try to kill us.
You ungodly warlock.
But we just won't stay dead.
What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
The Midnight Horror Show. The internet's goriest and raunchiest horror podcast since 2008. Now live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at tmhsradio.com. Listen on your mobile device with the TuneIn app, search TMHS Radio, or download us at iTunes, Podomatic, or the TMHS Radio page.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 68, where we have been counting down the top 10 best horror performances by Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price. This was number 2 on the list, and we reviewed The Devil Rides Out and The Abominable Dr. Fibes, with points going to Christopher Lee, narrowing the gap now. If Christopher Lee wins next week, then there is a good chance that what will happen is that the end score will only be 2 points between them, which feels like a fairly fought competition. If Vincent Price wins next week, then he will extend his lead at the end to 4 points clear. Next week I'll be joined by Jeff X. Martin from Kiss the Goat, and we will be looking at the final two movies on my list. For Christopher Lee, we will be looking at The Wicker Man, and for Vincent Price, we'll be looking at The Witchfinder General. So two heavy, heavy hitters, two powerful performances closing out this top 10. I just want to thank everyone again for checking out these shows, the new members over on the Facebook page, of which there are many, and just thanks very much for the support. I say it all the time, and sometimes it might feel like I'm being slightly disingenuous, but I genuinely think that you guys are the best podcast listeners out there. I think you are the most supportive, and the Facebook page always kicks ass and puts a smile on my face regardless what time of day I gaze over there. That's a good thing about having international listeners, is regardless what time of day it is, someone's posting something. So and thanks for everyone who has suggested a new member over to the page. The plan was to try and get it up to 250 by the end of the month, and I think we're sitting just over 240 now, so thank you very much for everyone that has suggested someone to be added to the page. As always, there's a multitude of ways to listen to the podcast Under the Stairs. You can listen to us on iTunes, and if you do that, I would appreciate if you just take 2 seconds to leave us a review. The more 5-star reviews, for example, that we get, the higher up the ratings we get pushed, the more likely it is that people will check out the show. You can listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can check us out on our website, podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast, and on Twitter, which is at teapotscast, the Baz being the custodian of nonsense over on the Twitter page. So you come across, check that one out. Hashtag is out, hashtag teapotscast, tag us in things. Baz loves to be nosy and check out everything, so keep the man occupied during his downtime. And also you can check us out on Legion Podcast Network. This podcast is a proud member of that network, and that network features some fantastic shows. Kiss the Goat is over there. You can check out Devour the Podcast, Grave Shift Radio, my good friends at Black Anna's Horror Podcast. You can also check out my good friends over at the Big Horror and Little Podcast, the podcast on Haunted Hills over there, Cinema Beef, Evil Episodes, Duncan and Bo Come Correct, Girls Be Ghouls, just loads of fantastic horror podcasts and gaming podcasts and movie podcasts. It's a great place to check it, so show some love over to Legion Podcast Network. And if you have been in the past slightly put off by the fact that on iTunes you have to subscribe to the full feed of shows, all the shows are getting standalone feeds. So for example, if you wanted to listen to podcasts on Haunted Hill, for example, you can listen to them on a private feed now, which means you will only get their shows exclusively through Legion. So no excuses now not to support that network. Oh, it's been a good one. We've got one left in this countdown, this top 10. I can go ahead and say it. I think it's been the best top 10 countdown we've done thus far, and I don't know what topic I picked to beat this next year, but I think the planning will probably start next week, as soon as it finishes, to get the thinking cap on and try and work out how we top this year's top 10. But it wouldn't be possible at all if it hadn't been for my great guests and you, the listeners out there. So once again, thank you very much. So I'm going to jump out just now. I look forward to speaking to you all in 1 week's time as we close out this top 10 countdown. But until then, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from the Void, signing off.